reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 9th verse. No, 9th canto, 9th chapter, 18th verse. Is that what it is? Yes.
Tata sudasya tato putro. Tata sudasya tato putro. Damayanti pati nirpaha. Damayanti pati nirpaya. Ahur mitra saham yam vai. Ahur mitra saman yam vai. Kal ma sangarim uta kvachit. Kal ma sangarim uta kachit. Vasishta sapad raksho abhuda. Anpatya sva karmanaha. Tata sudasa tatta putro.
Karmana. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sarvakam had a son called Sudasa, whose son, known as Saudasa, was the husband of Damayanti. Saudas is sometimes known as Mitrahas or Kalma Sapad. Because of his own misdeed, Mitrahas was sonless and was cursed by Vasishta to become a man-eater Rakshas. There is no purport. So we go to the next, number 19. King Parishit said, O Sukhdev Goswami, why did Vasishta, the spiritual master of Saudas, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If this is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me. 2021. Sukhdev Goswami said, once Saudas went to live in the forest where he killed a man-eater Rakshas but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. That brother, however, decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. One day, the king's spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, was invited for dinner. And the Rakshas cook served him human flesh. While examining the food given to him, Vasishtha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Saudas to become a man-eater. When Vasishtha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshas, not the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Saudas took water and chanted the Swapa mantra, preparing to curse Vasishtha. But his wife, Mother Yanti, forbade him to do so. When the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky and the surface of the globe, were full of living entities everywhere. Saudas thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot, for which he was known as Kalma Sapad. Once King Kalma Sapad saw a Brahmana couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshas, and being very hungry, King Saudas seized the Brahman. Then the poor woman, the Brahmana's wife, said to the king, "O hero, you are not actually a man-eater. Rather, you are among the descendants of Maharaj Ikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madayanti. You should not act so irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please therefore return my husband who has not yet impregnated me." Number 28. O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, "Hari Hari Viphale Janam Goainu Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Shunya Vishaya Khainu." Everybody says this. It's a very wonderful thing. Hari Hari Vifale Janam Govainu Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janiya Shunya Vishaya Khainu. You should know the translation. O Lord Hari, my life I have simply spoilt. Although I have taken this rare human birth, like a miser, I have not served my Lord. I have no love for you, Radha and Krishna. And so, purposefully, I have drunk poison. Prabhupada continues, "The body of a human being is extremely valuable because in this body alone one can understand the instructions of Krishna and attain the ultimate destination of the living entity. The living entity is within the material world to fulfill the mission of going back home, back to Godhead. In the material world, one hankers for happiness, but because one does not know the ultimate destination, one changes bodies one after another. However, if one gets the opportunity to possess a human form of body, in this body, you can fulfill the four principles of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. And if one is properly regulated, he makes further progress after liberation to engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. This is the success of life. To stop the process of repeated birth and death and go back home, back to Godhead, Mamiti, to be engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, taking a human body is meant for completing one's progress in life. Without human society, killing of a human being, throughout human society, killing of a human being is taken very seriously. Throughout human society, killing of a human being is taken very seriously. Hundreds and thousands of animals are killed in slaughterhouses, but no one cares for them. But the killing of even one human being is taken very seriously. Why? Because the human form of body is extremely important in executing the mission of life. Om. In this wonderful purport, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, one of our greatest acharyas, in his very, very humble mood, Actually, he was a pure liberated soul. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. We'll just get into details of that. But he has sung on our behalf to the Lord.
Hari Hari Bifale Janam Goainu Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya Janya Shunya Bishaya Khainu.
What is this Bishaya Khainu? We are drinking poison knowingly. Means every minute of ours is wasted. We are chit-chatting, looking at TV, listening to or reading newspapers, and other anarthas are being done. And this is the Vishaya. Here Vishaya means poison. And we are just drinking this poison, which is of killing the propensity to become a pure devotee of the Lord. Furthermore, he states, Prabhupada says, that the human form of body is extremely valuable. That is a fact. Because this body can understand the instructions of Krishna. Because in the other bodies which we have already gone through, all of us have gone through it. How do you know that you have gone through the body of a dog, for instance? Because when you see a small, beautiful little puppy dog, you almost fall in love with it. See, it's a fact. There are people in America, I know, who have given millions of dollars of all their last will to a dog. Because they say, this dog only loved me. My sons and daughters disappeared. They abandoned me. All my relatives left me. But this dog was so kind and nice to me that it made my life wonderful. What do you think happens to that poor guy after he dies and he leaves all his benefits to the dog? He becomes a dog. He becomes a puppy of that same dog. You see? That's a fact. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what your last thoughts are, that is where you will be going. So it's obviously a very dangerous thing to keep a dog, first of all. I had a dog, no doubt, I must confess. It was gifted to me by none other than Lady Thakarsi, one of the great rich family members in Bombay. And I fell in love with the dog as a small boy. I was only 7 years old. I had no brother, sister. So my only brother, sister, companion, whatever you call, was the dog. I would eat with the dog. I would sleep with the dog. Somewhat like Bharat Maharaj, you know, with this deer business. But fortunately, we came across Srila Prabhupada, who woke us up and said, "You dog, don't be a dog, become a Vaishnav dog." I said, "Oh yeah, I don't mind, as long as I become a Vaishnav dog." Because then you become a devotee of a pure Vaishnav. So here, Prabhupada has given such a beautiful purport, saying that we must engage in the service of Radha and Krishna. Then what happens? Then you go home back to Godhead. Now, what is the proof of this? Prabhupada says this. We accept Prabhupada. Every word of Prabhupada is like gospel truth. But still, when you talk to outsiders, when you talk to others who are not devotees, there should be proof, no? There should be praman. So I went through the entire Bhagavad Gita, 700 shlokas. Because that's a word of God. Bhagavan Uvacha. Why in Bhagavad Gita it's written Bhagavan Uvacha and not Krishna Uvacha? It's written Arjuna Uvacha, Dhritarashtra Uvacha, Sanjaya Uvacha, Falana Dikna Uvacha. But not written Krishna Uvacha. Because Krishna knew, and so did Vedvyas, we know, because he's the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. He knew that in future there will be Mayavadis. This was 5,000 years ago spoken Bhagavad Gita. Mayavadis started sometime 2,500 years ago, or say 2,000 years ago. So he knew that there will be people questioning. Oh, that is Krishna saying, you know, Krishna is not the ultimate. That's why it is written Bhagavan Uvacha. Because then there is no dispute, question, or any doubt. It is God, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself saying. So that's why in whole of Bhagavad Gita, throughout it is Bhagavan Uvacha. Bhagavad Gita is in the central portion of the Mahabharata. Before this Bhagavad Gita, it's all written Krishna Uvacha. And after Bhagavad Gita, it's all written Krishna Vacha. So this shows the importance of this Bhagavad Gita. So I went through the 700 shlokas. And then I found, to my great delight and surprise, that there were 18 shlokas in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says the same thing that Prabhupada says here. 18 times. Can you imagine somebody telling you 18 times? You must accept and appreciate that. If somebody tells you that, please get me a glass of water, then you don't get. Then he says again, please get me a glass of water, you don't get. 18 times the fellow tells you, please get me a glass of water. Then you say, chalo bhai, let me get that glass of water. Naita, he'll tell me 19th time. So, 18 times Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I've listed it all out. I don't want to bother you with it. But it starts with the second chapter, 71 and 72 shlok, and ends with 18.68. 18 times he says, do this, then you'll come back home back to Godhead. Do this, you'll come back home back to Godhead. So I thought to myself, so many times he repeated this same statement, do this and you'll come home back to Godhead. Then let us understand what to do. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you do this, then you'll come back home to back to Godhead. Then where are the details, what we have to do? So for the details, I had to go to the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is one of our greatest acharyas, and therefore we are known as Rupa Nugas. We are followers of Rupa Goswami. Okay. So, in the third canto, 29th chapter, shlok 12 and 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapil Dev says to Devuti Mataji, this is very important. Please listen carefully. Most important are the following important things. First of all, if you really want to go home back to Godhead, he's telling his mother, the son is telling the mother, if you want to go back home back to Godhead, then you must have no more material desires. Point number one. There are totally 4 points. So the first thing, if anybody is writing down, write down. If you want to go home back to Godhead, the first point is you must have no more material desires. I want a house, I want a husband, I want a wife, I want money, I want this, that. These are all material desires. Okay. So these are called in Sanskrit vasanas, unfulfilled material desires. So if you get rid, first of all, of material desires, then that is step number one in going home back to Godhead. I'll give you exactly step by step by step, and today you can go home back to Godhead. Point number two, get rid of all philosophical speculation. He's telling his own mother. She's herself an elevated lady. Devuti Mataji is not an ordinary woman. And Kapil Dev Bhagwan is telling his mother, get rid of all speculative philosophies. Three, your mind must be engaged in my service, means service of the Lord, and not asking from me except to be engaged in my service. So, A, it means don't ask for service from anyone else. Do only service of Lord Krishna. Okay. That's a point number three. Third step to go home back to Godhead. The fourth step. Do not even beg to live in my house abode. Do not beg even to live. Krishna, I want to be with you. I would like to serve you in your house. No. Don't ask for that also, he says to her. These are the four characteristics which are pre-qualification of becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. See, we must endeavor to become pure devotees of the Lord. Don't waste your time in this hall. Don't come to this temple. Don't eat prasadam. Don't offer your obeisances to Krishna. Don't associate with devotees unless you want to become a pure devotee of the Lord. It's a waste of your time and my time. You see, I don't like to lecture for nothing. You don't like to listen for nothing. We determine today itself, we shall become pure devotees of the Lord.
Everybody agreed?
Yes.
100%?
Yes.
Those who don't, get out. Okay, you're going already. All right, I have no problem. See, one. I lost one. What to do? Can't help. So, the pure devotee is not even interested in any of the five kinds of liberations also. Okay. Now you've understood who's a pure devotee. What is the pre-qualifications of pure devotee? Anybody? What are the 4 points? You remember or you forgot already? Mataji, you have a writing down? Which is the first point? No material desires. That's the first and foremost point. Without that first point, you are not on the first step even. Okay. Then the second one, no philosophical speculations. Because that is Mayavad. So get the bloody, I'm sorry to use such a word, because I was myself a Mayavadi before. I had to somehow or the other get rid of this mental speculation, which is Mayavad, you see. Third, the mind must be engaged. First thing is the mind, because it is your mind. Where is it stated? Bhagavad Gita. Who says that? Arjun says that. The mind is like the wind. The mind is like a monkey. You see? Monkey does what? Goes to this tree. Ah, thoda fruit khaya. Oh, I like that tree. I like that fruit. It jumps to that one. In fact, I have seen actually flying monkeys. Can you imagine? Monkeys who can fly actually. You cannot imagine in India. But they are there in South America. I have seen them. There are flying monkeys. They fly from one tree to the other to eat fruits. So your mind wants this. Then for a few seconds, no, this taste is okay. I like that. So let me run there. So that is what causes fall down of a devotee. The mind. The mind is the reason for the fall down of a pure devotee. Or those who are endeavoring to become a pure devotee. So the mind must be engaged. Engaged means like married, you know. Pehle, marriage ke pehle engagement hota hai na, when everything is very nice, you see. Then come marriage, then come honeymoon. That's also nice. Thereafter problems. So, we don't want the mind to get married. We want the mind to get engaged to Krishna. Because then you will be always happy. Okay? You understood, no? All right. So, the mind must be engaged. See, every word is important. Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, use the best words, the correct words. They don't use words which are wrong. They don't use words which are irrelevant. We have to see very carefully. In fact, I sat with a huge big Oxford dictionary also yesterday and went through every word. For instance, it's written here, next one, you should not even endeavor to go back to my abode. Now, what is the meaning of abode? Anybody knows? You think it's house, right? That's what I thought. But the Oxford Dictionary, which is the authorized dictionary of the English language in the House of Parliament in England and in our House of Commons and our Lok Sabha and in the Supreme Court, that's an Oxford Dictionary. Oxford Dictionary says, endeavor to live. You should not even think of living in that house. You see, abode, you thought, means house, right? And house is what? It's a structure. Made of cement, concrete, steel, windows, this, that, and the rest. Isn't it? But you should not even think of that house. Okay? So, the thought is most important. Thinking is most important. So, you should not even think of a house of Krishna. You say, Krishna, wherever I am, I'm happy. Okay? I don't even want to think about your house. The reason is very simple. Would you want somebody to gossip in your house? Supposing somebody says, I want to live in your house. You'll say, no, Baba, there's no room here. Isn't it? It's obvious. Somebody from the street comes and says to you, okay, Sahab, you are so nice, you are so beautiful, you are so opulent, you are so rich, you are so strong, so powerful, so famous, so renounced, I want to live in your house. You'll say, no, bhai, yahan jagah nahi hai, you don't come here. Isn't it? How can you just gusav into somebody's house? So you want to gusav into Krishna's house. Why? Who's authorized you? See, that's a bad thought, actually.
So we should not even think of, this is what Rupa Goswami says. I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not an authority. But Rupa Goswami says, you should not even think of living in Krishna's house. If Krishna invites you to his house, that's fine. That's a different story altogether. If somebody like me says, okay, please come and stay in my house. Then if you say, no, no, I'm a pure devotee. I've not even thought of living in your house. Then Krishna will say, no, no, I insist. You come to my house. All right, then I'll come. That, you must have that common sense. Don't say no to Krishna. Okay, become his yes man, Prabhupada says. So the four steps, which are the principal starting point of pure devotional service, according to Rupa Goswami, is number one, don't have any more material desires from today onwards. Okay? If something good comes, fine. We are not saying no. Money comes, 1 lakh rupee comes, I'll not say no to that. I'll give it to the temple 50%. 50% I'll keep. Then, that's what we are doing, no? That's what Rupa Goswami says we should do. We should never say no to money. Because the Lakshmi, no? How can you say no to Lakshmi Devi? You should worship Lakshmi. Then, second thing is, if you are getting fame, somebody is saying you are very famous, this, that. You see, that is all due to Prabhupada. This is all due to these books. Give the credit to the devotees. Somebody says you are very strong. Yes, but that is due to, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. Isn't it? So please give credit to Krishna. Everything give credit to devotees and Krishna. Except that 50% of the money. So, do not even beg for living in my abode. Krishna, that Rupa Goswami says about Krishna. So these are the four characteristics which are the starting point of your devotional service. And all of you, I'm sure, I'm 100% sure, except that one man in the black dress who went out, are determined to stay behind and go back home, back to Godhead. We have decided now. We are a sold-off animal of Krishna. We have decided to go home, back to Godhead. Now, here is the step number four. This is over. Now, the pure devotee is not even interested in the five types of liberations. You know, like living with Krishna, becoming, looking like Krishna, things like that. All that is not interesting to us. So, the pure devotee is only willing to do bhakti. Now, starting point of bhakti, because there are so many forms of yogas, right? It's very confusing. There is Jnana Yoga. There are two chapters in Bhagavad Gita on Karma Yoga. There is Dhyana Yoga. There is Sankhya Yoga. So many yogas actually. But none of these yogas solve our problem permanently. The other yogas solve our problems of the immediate nature. Okay. Supposing you have some problem, peace of mind nahi hai mera. So go to Dhyana Yoga. By all means do meditation. Then you will get peace of mind. Okay. But what to do with that peaceful mind afterwards? That is important, no? You got something, then you must know what to do with it. It's like something, somebody gives you a crore rupees, then you must know what to do with that crore rupees, you know? Some thieves will take it away, you know? You have to invest it very carefully, okay, securely. So you have to invest your mind very carefully, because that is your wealth. Your mind is your wealth. Remember that. The mind is a gift given to you by God. And a gift given, such a costly gift. See, the animals don't have the type of mind we have got. They don't have the intelligence that we have got. So it's a gift. So therefore, we have to invest that gift in bhakti. It's a very simple thing. In fact, we have got this Yamuna Kinara Bank. Yamuna is, Yamuna River. It's a bhakti, great devotee of the Lord. Kinara means two things in English. Kinara means bank also of the river, and also means bank of the money. So we've got our own bank here in this same institution. So you can invest in that also, Yamuna Kinara Bank. So the pure devotee will first of all go to another pure devotee. Correct? These four things you've done, Then you have to understand, now how will I progress further? The only way to progress further is by finding out somebody who has more progress than you. Isn't it? Supposing you want to become a doctor. Okay, you have first qualification of a doctor is you have to be absolutely, say, in the first, not only first division, but you have to be superlatively first division, say, in distinction, first 100 or something, in 12th standard, isn't it? Then you will get entrance into this JJ College or KEM or something. All right, as a medical doctor. Any medical doctors here? Any hands up? Oh, very good. Which hospital you are in? Huh? And you? Nair. Then you must have stood in high rank. What was your rank? 12th standard? 84%. Then it's not easy to get 84% like that. You see? So you have to have 84% minimum to get into Nair Hospital. You see? But then once you get into that 84% Nair Hospital, what will you do? You can't say that I have arrived, I have entered the hospital, I have paid my fees, therefore now tomorrow morning I am becoming a doctor. No. For 5.5 years, 5.5 years, you have to slog it out like anything under a qualified doctor, set of doctors. Somebody is teaching you Gray's anatomy. What do you teach? They teach Gray's? I'm an engineer, but I know that. Gray's anatomy, because I had so many friends, medical doctors, I used to read their books. So, like that, then there is a, you had to learn surgery, you had to learn so many other hundreds of things. And I sometimes wonder how hard they work, how difficult it is. You see? So they have to really slog it out about learning about the physical body. They don't teach any spiritual body thing in your Nair Hospital, they teach nothing. The only place you learn about your spiritual body is in Radha Gopinath Temple, Chopati. I'm telling you frankly. This is the only place you'll learn about, which is far more important according to me, because your material body is fine for whatever, 80 years, 100 years, whatever you live. But your spiritual body is eternal. And why not you study about that? Which is the most important thing. And once you know and study the anatomy of your spiritual body and composition and how to solve, spiritual body also gets disease, incidentally. And therefore, what is the disease of the spiritual body, you know? It gets material desire. Fat karke, it comes down to this material world. That is the disease, first disease of the spiritual body. You were there in the spiritual world. You were there for originally. But you felt, Are Krishna, you are enjoying all this. I must also enjoy separately. Now, the moment you think separate from Krishna means you want to be separate from the spiritual world, from the separate from spiritual enjoyment. Now, the only separate from Krishna and spiritual separate enjoyment is material enjoyment. There are two portions. So that's how we came here in the first place. Now we want to go back to the spiritual kingdom. So therefore we have to stop these material desires. Isn't it? It's obvious. That's the first medicine we have to take to stop having material desires. Now, what is the benefit? Rupa Goswami is our best doctor, spiritual doctor, to tell you honestly. He is MD, MS, everything, PhD. What he says is you'll immediately get 6 benefits. Immediately. Now, these are the 6 benefits you will get. A, you'll get relief from all kinds of material desires. Means you'll remain fixed up in Krishna consciousness. 2, all auspiciousness starts coming to you. Means you'll start getting association of devotees. The most auspicious thing that can happen to a human being is that he gets association of devotees. Remember this. The most auspicious thing that happens to a materialist is he gets lots of money. But that money can disappear and will disappear at the time of death. Death I am, Krishna says. And he'll take away everything of yours. Not only your money, he'll take away everything. Okay. Third thing is, he gets a transcendental pleasure, because we are all seeking happiness and pleasure, because that is the very nature of the soul, Sat, Chit, Anand. So we are all thinking of Anand. Now there are two things, Anand and Sukh. Now Sukh is in this material world and Anand is in the spiritual world, because opposite of Sukh is Dukkha. You see? But there is no opposite of Anand. There is no neutralization, no titration, no pipettes. You see? The Anand remains Anand all times. And the Dukkha titrates, neutralizes like acid and alkali. It titrates or removes Sukh. And that is what happens to all of us. Everyone in this room has experience. Few days you are having some Sukh, happiness. And within a few days after that, you hear some very bad news or something happens and you have displeasure, unhappiness. Isn't it? Everyone has gone through this. A child has gone through it. Mothers go through it. Fathers go through it. Everybody goes through it. But the benefit of this pure devotee is that he is in transcendental pleasure, which is not available to any other activity of yoga. This is very important. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrat Sindhu that in no other form of yoga except Bhakti Yoga, you get a transcendental pleasure. I'm not talking about dentistry and transcendental. That sometimes in dental operation also you get displeasure. But that is not the one we are talking about. Transcendental means you're going above the material platform. Okay. Then he gets devotional service, which is rarely achieved. In fact, this was the only desire to be fulfilled. Now, what is the first and foremost thing anybody knows that a devotee tells another devotee? Please chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Correct? This is the first step in the second phase. The first phase, we've already decided the four things we have to do in the mind. The second thing now to implement how to achieve our goal is to continuously chant the Maha Mantra. So Prabhupada originally told his young budding disciples in New York that you should chant 64 rounds a day. And their jaws dropped. Prabhupada, how can we chant 64 rounds a day? It'll take 6 hours, something like that. It's not possible. No, 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 Prabhupada. Now, it is Prabhupada who is a pure devotee of the Lord and Acharya who realized that these people have got limitation. So he said, okay, 32 rounds. The 32 rounds, bahut ho gaya. Too much, it's impossible. Impossible. Then Prabhupada said, okay, nothing less than 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds. Now, the unfortunate thing is we all have understood 16 rounds. But the word minimum we forgot. So the fact of the matter is, it is minimum 16 rounds we have to chant a day. It's not that you have to stop at 16. You see, it's minimum 16 rounds a day. And believe me, if you have started late, see, there are very few Prahlad Maharajis in this world. That at the age of 5, they become pure devotees. So most of us have started at the age of 25 or 30 or something like that. I started at 31. Now I'm 70-year-old. So I worked out in my case. You should work out in your case. Because in Kali Santar Upanishad, we have to chant 3.5 crore times. Okay. It says there. You finish chanting 3.5 crore, then you go home back to Godhead. It's a straightforward mathematical formula. You want a ticket? Pay me 3.5 crore rounds. That's all it is. Because you are going where? See, if you are going to Delhi, 1500 rupiah, 2000 rupiah, these days tickets have become costlier. But whatever it is, you have to pay a small amount. But when you are going to go home back to Godhead, Golok Vrindavan, naturally the ticket cost will be more. It is 3.5 crore rupees. It's not rupees, it's chanting. So, I worked it out that it takes 55 and a half years. I did it on a calculator. It takes 55 and a half years if you are going to chant only 16 rounds. Now, I worked out that I don't have 55 and a half years to live. You see, I don't think so at least. So I thought I must chant minimum 20 rounds to get nearer to that. So if I live up to 75 at least, now 5 more years, then I'll reach that goal. Then I can claim, I can go and say, okay, here's my mark sheet. Give me admission, please. I may not get admission. There may be 10 others smarter than me like him who will say, no, you have 82.5% out. 84 wala ko de do. See? Finish, then I am finished. I have to go back and start chanting more rounds. Follow? So please be careful. There is no guarantee in this world of anything. Only guarantee is death. Every person who is born shall die. Death, nothing is more certain than death. So death is the only guarantee. The only thing that happens to us is if we truly surrender those four first things I told you about, and now which I am telling you these six things, then you've got an assurance, at least, that I'm studying so hard, at least I'm assured that if not I get into an engineering college, I'll get into a degree college, I'll get into diploma. Chalo, baad mein dekhenge, kya hota hai. You see, any engineers here besides me? Engineering college, degree or diploma? Degree. Diploma la ko ye? Ah, there is diploma. You wanted degree, right? You got diploma. But then that's part of the game. What can you do? You follow? You see? Isn't it? You have to accept it. But there is a method. Because I'm a president of a university, so I know. If you finish in the top first class in your third year of your diploma, you can get admission into a degree course in the second year. Did you know this? Correct? I do it in my university. So, this is the law. So, what we can do is, we can pray to Krishna. Okay, Krishna, I finished my rounds. I'm trying my best. I've done devotional service. Okay, if you are not giving me the full admission, give me partial admission at least. Thoda entry to maar de, fir baad mein dekha jayega. You see, get admission first. Okay? Because now you are in this temple, there were no pre-qualifications. Prabhupada says to enter our temples, there is no pre-qualification. You can't say, because I'm a Brahman, born in a very high family, you must admit me, and this is a Chandal, don't admit him. No. We admit everybody. Fourth class, fifth class, sixth class, tenth class. We'll admit everybody. But then they have to stick to these principles, the four regulative principles. Everybody knows? Four regulative principles? Yes? You don't know? Who doesn't know? You shall not have meat, fish or eggs. Why? Why? Why we should not have meat? Anybody remembers? Tamasic. Because it is merciless. Now, you want mercy from Krishna, you see, and if you kill an animal, you are merciless because you are not showing mercy to that animal. That animal is not really an animal. It is a jivatma. And that jivatma is similar to you only, like your own brother or sister. Now, supposing in your own family, there are five boys, five brothers, okay? And one brother is from birth only there is some defect, assuming some defect, major defect. Can the four brothers say that, let us, father, don't share this, your property amongst five of us. Let's kill this fellow, you know, and get rid of him. Then at least amongst four good guys we will be there. Why did bother with that useless fellow? The father will be merciful. He said, no, nothing doing. I'm not going to be involved in a murder. You follow? So you get involved in a murder actually. Animal killing is a murder. In the eyes of God. Huh? Not. In fact, it's there in the Bible also. Thou shalt not kill. But unfortunately, I got a new version of the Bible. They've removed the word thou shalt not kill. And they say thou shalt not murder. They've changed the Bible. Change kiya. Actually change kiya. Because when I was in school, Cathedral High School, we used to go to this St. Thomas Cathedral. And we would have to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done. So, there in the morning we had the Bible in front of us. And the Ten Commandments we had to read. And one of the major commandments in that was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself and all that. Okay, theek hai. Then thou shalt not covet somebody's wife. I said, my God, I'm only 8 years old. Which wife? Anyway. But it's there in the Bible. What can I do? It's there. That's one of the commandments, you see. Thou shalt not covet somebody else's wife. Theek hai. Then it's written there, thou shalt not kill. So we agreed, thou shalt not kill. Fine. Now that was St. James's Bible that we were reading in this cathedral, St. Thomas Cathedral at Cathedral School. But now recently I got another Bible, new one. They said, fresh print, new edition. Opened it. I read it. Thou shalt not murder. Attarigi. Change kar diya. That is why this Sanskrit is very important. See, in Sanskrit there is no change allowed. You follow? As it is, it should be there. Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. Rupak Goswami's, we are doing that as it is. Because it's the purport, no, of this same shloka. I have seen in Srila Prabhupada all these symptoms of a pure devotee of the Lord. He had no other desire. Why should he have gone from Vrindavan, such a beautiful place, to the Bavari? In June 12th, I had to go to the Bavari in New York because I went with Satyaraj Prabhu. We went for this Rath Yatra, you know. And the Rath Yatra in New York, they take it from, usually from Central Park, which is like our, say, Shivaji Park. So they take it all the way downtown to Washington Square, like our Colaba, you see. Supposing you go from Shivaji Park to Colaba. Everybody understands that in Bombay. It's same thing in New York, one side, that side, that side. So we were going. And then when you reach near Colaba, obviously you will reach near Strand Cinema, isn't it? So I was thinking, where is that? Let's go there again. Matchless Gifts, that second avenue. So I went there. Then I realized that around that area, it is really bad. Very poor people. You'd be shocked in America, which is one of the richest nations in the world. But still, there is a Bowery, all drunkards and all people are sleeping there. I said, let me go where Prabhupada stayed so many months, you know. Let me see for myself. And then after going a little bit, I didn't have the guts, honestly speaking, to go over other people's bodies, you know. Because they are sleeping on the street, they are sleeping on the staircase. And you never know in New York, iske paas chaku hai. They'll say, come on, give me your money and your watch and all. So I said, Baba, I don't know to take a risk. I'm a Guju, you know. So Gujaratis are more careful about their own property. So I said, I don't have any truck with them. So I just went and saw for myself where Prabhupada stayed, what happened. In such difficult conditions, Prabhupada stayed. Can you imagine? He gave up Vrindavan for this. That means he had no desire to go, Krishna, I want to stay with you. He only wanted to spread pure Krishna consciousness in such a place. And he took people from the gutter. This is like a gutter, you see, and made them Krishna conscious. It's very, very difficult. Impossible what Prabhupada has done. It's even more than what Jesus Christ did, to tell you honestly. Because Jesus Christ never went to the gutter. He went to the fishermen. He said, you are right now fishermen, you are fishing, now you fish for men. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I know my Bible inside out. So, the thing is, whereas Jesus Christ went for fishermen and took fishermen and made them into pure devotees of Lord Jesus Christ in Christianity, Prabhupada went to such an awful place like the Bowery. And whenever he spoke in big gatherings, two things I observed personally about Prabhupada. Over and above what is written, this is my personal observation. Every time I saw him in a big gathering like this, Each one felt as if he was looking at him and talking to him. I felt at least. And I would ask other people, and everybody felt that Prabhupada is personally talking to me only and answering my query, my doubt, my questions. So this is something very unique, I thought, that one person sitting one place, he can go straight into the heart of so many people and answer their queries and questions. Secondly, he had like an X-ray vision. Prabhupada had like an X-ray vision. And every one of us who were there, because I was a Mayavadi, I knew ki sara mera to X-ray nikal diya aaj. So I knew that I have got X-rayed. Because I could feel that he could take out all the anarthas and expose it in front of us. That these are your problems. These are the things you should not have, anarthas. He laid it out on the table, you see. That these are the things which you should get rid of. Don't keep it for you. It is going to harm you. So Prabhupada had that quality which comes with pure devotional service. So, how do you actually say that these karmic reactions, we've had so many karmic reactions, you know. So, in the Padma Puran, I'm now going to quote the Padma Puran, it is stated, because it's in link, you see, with the Bhagavatam and what I was reading, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the Padma Puran, it is clearly stated that there are four types of karmic reactions. You may say that, okay, for now it's okay, I'm coming to the temple and all that. But what about my past karmas? How will they get cleaned up, you see? Isn't it? All of us have done so many bad things in the past. Let's face it, it's the truth. Maybe in this lifetime or previous lifetimes. So Padma Puran says that there are four types of karmic reactions. Now let me give you the details. One, those karmic activities you have done which have not yet fructified. I mean, suppose, just imagine there's a tree here, okay? Now in the tree, there is a flower, right? Leaf and flower, right? So first thing about karmic reaction is there will be a flower, okay? That flower will also die with bhakti, Mahamantra. Okay. That karmic reaction, negative reaction. Second, those flowers which have become like a small tiny fruit, but it's not a full grown fruit, those also will die by chanting the Mahamantra. Third, those which are inside the fruit as seeds, which could in future, you say, all right, the fruit has died, but the seed ka kya? That seed will fall on the ground and again a new karmic reaction will come, plant will come. Those seeds also will be vanquished. The word used is vanquished. Vanquished means be killed forever. And the fourth is those fruits which are matured and you are about to suffer. Those fruits also will be vanquished by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 39th verse, the Sanat Kumar himself, you know there were four brothers, you know about these, Sanat, Sanatan, Sanadar, Sanata. Four brothers, Sanat Kumars. So the Sanat Kumar says to the king, O king, the false ego is so strong because you all know that we, each one of us, you must know what is your composition. Just like a chemist, you know, you go to a chemical laboratory and you give a salt or a compound or something or a mixture or whatever. They will analyze it and give you a full big report, you know. Sodium itna, potassium itna, ye itna, oh, this, that, everything in percentage or milligrams or whatever. So, our composition is, we have got the Panch Mahabhuta, this body, correct? What is the first thing? Is the earth elements. How do you know? It's calcium. Calcium is an earth element. Large portion of our body is composed of bones, isn't it? Then inside our blood, there is iron. Iron is also metal. It is also earth element. Correct? Like that. There are traces of all things are inside our body. All the metals are inside our body. In fact, they say that you should take tablets, you know, with zinc in it. That will improve your health. Like B12 injections or something. Or multivitamins, Centrium or whatever it is. In America, that. So they have all sorts of chemicals I have read in that. There is an earth element, right? Then after this earth element comes what? The water element, right? It's a fact. 70% of our body is composed of water. Why? Because the earth itself is composed of 70% water. We are earthlings. We belong to the earth planet. So the earth planet people are having all the elements of this planet. Okay. Supposing, just for the sake of argument, we were doing the same class in the sun planet, assuming, just for the sake of argument. We can't go anywhere near the sun. But anyway, supposing we were, then we'd have fiery bodies. Obviously. Because the whole sun is composed heavily of fire. Very high temperature fire, that too. So actually the people in the sun planet, they are jivatmas. You'll be shocked to know. Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, jivatma does not get burnt. Cannot be cut. It cannot be dried. It cannot be wetted. And most important, it cannot be mutated by an atomic bomb. So there's nothing to worry. Kal utke sala Pakistan ne atom bomb phoda apne sir pe. Don't worry. We are alive. Because Krishna guarantees that even if an atom bomb falls on your head, and there is mutation, obviously, with the atom bomb, the jivatma does not perish. We will not die. So we should become abhay, fearless. When you are not going to die, where is the question of having any fear? Fear, maximum fear is for death. So Sanat Kumar says, oh king, the false ego, I was talking about that. So earth, water, water is there in the body, because you just try to not go to the bathroom for 6 hours and you'll understand. You have to remove the water. So water, then there is what? Fire. 98.6, correct? Centigrade? Fahrenheit? 36 centigrade. So fire is there, otherwise how is the temperature? Dead body, what is the temperature of a dead body? Kitna hota hai, doctor? Cold ho jata hai. No temperature. So thanda ho gaya. You see? So the difference between living body and dead body is, one is thanda and one is garam. Simple. I mean, I'm talking simple language. You see? Okay. Then after that heat, and you also need food for digestion. Because it's a very simple thing. I learned this from one German gentleman. He told me, fantastic thing. He told me, you must all know this, especially those who want to slim down. Those who got a lot of fat or whatever, they want to get thin. This is a very beautiful formula, German formula I learned. He says, please, please eat uncooked food. I said, why? He says, eat salad, eat tomatoes, eat cucumber, all these uncooked things. He says, why? So he says, it will get cooked in your body only. I said, really? And then how will it get cooked? He said, from your own fuel. Your fat will burn. And you'll have to cook that. So if you eat more uncooked food, you'll become slim. Achha, first class. Now you know the formula for getting slim, right? Okay. Just keep eating uncooked food. Seedhi baat hai. All right. So we covered earth, water, fire, then air. Air we got because we breathe in and out. In fact, there is so much analysis of air in the Shastras, the five types of airs. For instance, O2, oxygen, definitely we take in. We breathe out, there's a lot of carbon dioxide coming out. Of course, some oxygen also comes out. But because we've taken air, we've got the head of the Department of Bombay University sitting there. So I am at your lotus feet. So, Rishavanu Prabhu,
79% in nitrogen. How much in the air? Nitrogen, N2? 79. 78, okay. Doesn't matter, 1% or the other. I'm an engineer, we go by rule of thumb. They are chemists, you see, they want 79.223 dot. So, we are seeing that this nitrogen will come in and out because nitrogen is not going to react with anything. Correct? Okay. So, when they say pranayam, you know, apanayam, sapanayam, and udanayam, and all that sort of shlokas, each one refers to each of those things. Oxygen, carbon dioxide. There is some small amount of traces of carbon monoxide also. Then something else. If you are in a dirty room, sulfuric SO2, whatever it is, or H2S, or whatever. So all these things are there in the body, isn't it? Because you just go to the toilet, you'll smell all that stuff. So that smell is there. There is the air, bad air. And then there is what? Space. Because you're eating and drinking, it has to have space in the body to accommodate all that, no? Otherwise, how you'll accommodate something if there's no place for it to be accommodated? So it is there. Higher to this is what? Which controls all this? The senses. The five senses. The five input senses and five output senses. Okay. The five input senses everybody knows. Eyes, ears, nose, to taste like that, and touch. And the five operational senses are the legs, the hands, the tongue again, then the genitals, then anus and all that stuff. And also the tongue to speak. So, these are the five input senses and five output senses. It's like a black box. The body is like a black box. So, then above that, this is very important. Above the senses is the mind. Mind is made up of what I've told before. Mind is made up of the food, subtle part of the food that we eat. If we eat good food, prasadam, our mind will improve. If we drink alcohol, our mind will bad jayega. Finish. Then above that is intellect, buddhi, discrimination, vivek, whether to do this or not to do this. That decision-making power. That is the intelligence. And above that, most important, which nobody knows much about, is ego. So Sanat Kumar is explaining to the king in the 4th canto, 22nd, write down, 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 39th verse, Sanat Kumar says, O king, the false ego is so strong that it keeps the living entity in material existence. So you are trying to become a pure devotee, you are trying to go home back to Godhead, but what is it that keeps you bound to the material world is your false ego. And Sanat Kumar gives the formula. He says, O king, the false ego is so strong that it keeps him in the material existence as if tied with a strong rope. This rope can only, he says, this rope can only be cut by a pure devotee by engaging that person in Krishna consciousness. This is a formula. The last thread, we may say, or the last knot, how to get out of this material existence, material world, is to cut this knot, this rope, known as false ego. And that false ego can be cut only by a pure devotee. It's like a surgeon, you know. Supposing I've got a tumor. A friend of mine, a big lawyer, he was a judge actually, Kamdar Saab. So I rang him up. So he says, I'm in hospital and tumor has been removed by the doctor. I mean surgery. So I said, did you send it to Tata Memorial for examination? Whether it is malignant or not malignant, cancer, non-cancer. He says, yes, it has been sent in the routine way. You see? So we have, this is a malignant problem we've got. All of us have got a malignant problem. Cancer is to the body, that knot is to the soul. Wo soul ko bandh diya hai, knot. It's like a tumor on the soul, that ego, false ego. Now that false ego requires to be cut, surgery, you know. The same knife can be used by the butcher or by the surgeon. Sorry to shock you, but in the old British days, I studied in University of London and I went through the history. I found that the original surgeons were all butchers. Did you know that? There were no surgeons. There was no medical colleges. So they would get hold of a surgeon, the baal kaatne wala, oh yeah, barber or a surgeon, and they say, please cut this fellow's knot in the tumor. Can you imagine? It was so bad. They didn't know till Mr. Lister came, you know, in this France, I think. Listerine is named after him, Lister. That there is such a thing as germs and this, we have to make it disinfected. So then slowly the medical profession became what it is. But the fact of the matter is that the pure devotee like Prabhupada, pure devotee like Radhanath Maharaj, because I'll come to Radhanath Maharaj in a minute. We are going to celebrate his birthday shortly. So they cut this knot, this tumor. It's not a knot. It's actually a tumor. It's really a tumor because in the lack of, they don't use that word knot because people will get scared. But the fact is the soul gets a tumor. It's not originally part of the soul, but it gets attached, the knot, the tumor. And it has to be cut by a pure surgeon, like a pure devotee of the Lord. And then but after what happens when you cut a knot, when you cut a tumor, then there's bleeding, no? How do you stop the bleeding? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is the antiseptic. That is the only band-aid or bandage that can see that no infection takes place. Why do you put a band-aid? Why do you put this? Is it right or wrong? So new sala infection nahi hona chahiye. You should not again get infected. And again a new problem starts. Correct? So this Ma Mantra is a band-aid. It helps you to see that no infection further takes place. Okay. In fact, I've gone on too long. It's nearly 10 o'clock. I've got about 6-7 notes left. So I quickly finish them. Okay, you don't mind, no? Nobody's hungry, no? Okay, otherwise, he's going. Okay, okay. Padma Puran further states that chanting can burn the snakes of false ego. Padma Puran used the word snakes. Now, it's very important, no? That supposing koi snake ghus gaya to mere ghar mein. Now, this is not, even if a snake comes in your house, how much terror it would cause, you see, in your house. But this snake has gone into your body. Can you imagine? How much terror, how much problem you got? That poison has got, a poisonous snake has gone into your body. Who says? I'm not saying, Padma Puran is saying. Padma Puran says the snake has to be burnt. And that snake can only be burnt by the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram, Ram, Hare Hare. So now you have understood that if you got rid of the final thing, which is called a false ego, then you get the right ego. There is false and true. You see? So the true ego is, I am eternally a servant of Krishna. I have to always act in Krishna consciousness, not have any more material desires. Correct? No more feeling that I must go home back to God, I must get this siddhi or that siddhi. All these things we've covered. Now, I'll tell you what happened in my personal case. My father died, okay? I was quite young. And then I thought to myself, how to run this business? It's crores of rupees, thousands of people employed, etc., etc. So then, at that time, I was very much believing in Tirupati Balaji. Same, Balaji means Krishna only. Bala and Ji. And so, I went to Tirupati. And there, I really prayed desperately, you know, to Krishna. I said, I want to serve you. Now, what happened was a very shocking thing. Really, really surprising. If you really, with your heart and soul, pray, you know, you get the result immediately. Or at least an indication of the result. See, maybe like a short telegram. You get it immediately. What happened is that the executive director of Tirumala Trust. That is the trust, Balaji Temple. You know, everybody knows Tirupati, right? Right? It's one of the richest temples in the world. And I was actually with one eye looking at the hundi only. Itna bhar gaya sab, bahut paisa isme. So, though I had that desire, because again I told you, businessman, Hindu, Gujarati. So I was looking at that and I said, Krishna, now you solve my problem. I am in deep trouble. Father suddenly died, business, this one. How will we run? I am so young and all that. But at the same time, my desire was, how much money is in there? Aapke paas kitna hai? You see, Krishna ke paas kitna hai? That was in the hundi. Now, do you know, hundi gets filled up with all sorts of things. A person who was the executive director, this is an absolute truth, in front of Krishna, I'm saying, and Prabhupada. So he came. And he, somehow or the other, came to know that my father was a member of parliament, and his one very good friend was the chairman of the trust of this Tirupati temple called Appaya or something like that. So this MP, member of parliament from Andhra Pradesh. So he told that we have got information. Look at these IAS officers are very smart, you know. He was an IAS officer, all these executive directors are IAS. Very, very smart guy. How he came to know? He says, I was told you are going to come today. And so, would you like to be the cashier of God? Bapre. I'm just now, 1 second ago, I'm thinking how much will be in this hundi. And he's asking me, would you like to open this hundi yourself and be the cashier and count? I said, it'll be impossible for me. He said, no, I'm giving you about 60 of my people. So actually, he gave me a scissor. I'm talking about not cutting the knot. So he gave me a scissor actually, government scissor. And I had to cut that seal, you know, there's a big seal. And there's a cloth covering that hundi's lock. I removed it. Then a very bad thought came to me. I said, I must keep that seal at least of God, you know. Bhagwan ka seal hai wo. So I asked this gentleman, what will you do with this seal? He says, well, we keep it, we have lots of seals. I said, can I keep this? So he says, yes, you can keep. So immediately, second, so I have this original seal of Balaji. Wo lakwara seal. Maine le liya. See, after all, we are not fools. So we know which side of bread is butter. So this is God's seal. Where will you get ever a second chance? So I took it. Then I said, that whole day we were counting. We were shocked. There were bangles, one bangle instead of two bangles, gold, silver, pearl necklaces, lakhs, crores of rupees. We had to count, all of us. And then we had to account for everything. And then at the end of the evening, I could give him the full account. And then I had to certify. Along with everyone who was there, each one had to sign. So what I am saying is that Krishna will fulfill your desires. Believe me. If your desires are not these, you should not have a desire that I want to live with you, that, what were the other ones I mentioned, no? The four items. You remember? There should be no material desire. It should be a spiritual desire. Because Krishna's seal is also spiritual, huh? I can tell you that much. Because since then I put that seal in my safe only. And that has brought us this temple, to tell you honestly. After that day, we got this property and we got Radha Gopinath deities. And it's a long history. And that all happened due to the mercy of Balaji. Hare Krishna. This is at 10 o'clock. So any comments or any questions? That happened in 1980 and we got this property in 1983. So 2-3 years here or there doesn't matter. Any questions or comments? Yes, please, Prabhuji. Mike unko dega?
Just tap it on top. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Prabhuji, you mentioned the out of those 4 points, the last point was that one should not have the desire to go to the abode of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
But
that's mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Yeah. Actually, it's quite shocking because we are always taught that one should remember the holy dham and one should always meditate, you know, on Vrindavan, Barsana. And
yeah.
And people, you know, when they go to Govardhan or all these places, they build homes, you know, at the footsteps. So how do we reconcile this principle, which is also not against the scriptures, with, you know, what Rupa Goswami is
telling? Very good question. Excellent question. See, actually, we do not desire to live in Krishna's house at Golok Vrindavan. Okay. Wherever Krishna is willing to put us, we are very happy. And Krishna is very kind. He will put us in the best place. Don't worry. You and that child on your lap also. So there's nothing to worry about that. Leave it to him. No, he'll make the best decision. He's somewhat like a small boy, 5-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy. He will not tell his father, you know, holding his finger, that father, now make sure that I get my food. Father, make sure that I get the best clothes. I want better facility in school, this thing, that thing. He'll give the best. So we trust Krishna to give us the best place. What is best for us? You see, it's not a demand. Should not be like a union leader. Janda leke. Nahi to Murdabad. That should not be our attitude, you know. Janda bhaji nahi karne ka hai. We should leave it to Krishna. We do our duty by going to the holy dhams, by praying. And in fact, you get million times more benefit if in the Kartik month in Vrindavan, if you do devotional service. You know this, correct? So that's why you do it. So that's your duty. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, forget about the result. Just do your duty. So in this world, the Mrityu Lok, because everybody is going to die. Mrityulok, we have to do our duty. That is the most important thing. But we don't know what duty to do. So the Guru Maharaj tells us these are your duties. Or the Shastras tell us, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So we should not say, I want room number 22 in Krishna's Golok Vrindavan. No, pehle se demand nahi karne ka. Give me a good view, huh? Krishna, make sure. You know? Acha, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hari Bol Mataji. I hope everything is all right at your house. You have overcome the sad thing about loss of your husband. Oh my God. Oh, see, there you are. Everyone goes through something.
Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj told me, I'm seeing you so many years, facing so many problems. Anyway, I've got mercy of yours, Maharaj and Krishna. Very beautiful class. Then, Prabhu, I want to ask, as I'm old and I've got very few years to live, obviously, and we should increase the rounds, as you said.
Yes,
right?
You must.
And suppose I do Sola Mala, and I read a lot, 3-4 hours, maybe Bhagavatam and other good books written by Swamis or whatever it is.
No, no, not whatever it is. As it is.
No, I mean to say written by ISKCON Swamis, Prabhupada.
No, only Swami Prabhupada.
Yeah, Swamis.
There's no mental physical. Philosophical speculation.
I don't read anything else unless it's written by.
Thank
so
I'm
what
sorry,
do you
I,
see?
I
what does it tantamounts,
yes,
I mean to say?
Yes.
Can it replace the malas?
No. That is the point. That
That's
is a very,
I
very
want.
Important issue you have raised.
Yes.
See, people think, and that used to happen with Prabhupada also. They would complain to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, I have got to do DT kitchen. I have to do this service, I have to do this, I have to clean that,
I have to do that service. How could I do more than 16 rounds? You know? They used to ask Prabhupada. So Prabhupada would say, okay, at least in 1 month, that Kartik month, you go to Vrindavan and chant morning to evening then. You have nothing else to do. Are you prepared to do that? No, we can't do it that easily. So at least slowly increase your rounds, Mataji. It won't happen overnight. Nothing can happen overnight. So instead of 16 rounds, go to 18 rounds, 20 rounds, and slowly try to increase further to 22 rounds, 24 rounds. You'll find there is time for everything. Believe me, I am reading so much. I know that somehow, only thing is that you'll get better quality sleep. So you'll do 6 hours sleeping or 5 hours sleeping. So those additional 2-3 hours which are going in sleep, you chant rounds.
So reading won't compensate the chanting?
No way.
That's
no way.
My question.
No way.
So
chanting is chanting. Different. You have to, that is the priority number one.
Uh-huh.
That is the most important priority because that's the only antiseptic. This is the only way. You see, you read a book and apply Dettol and antiseptic is different, no?
Yeah.
Then you have to apply that.
Reading Bhagavatam also doesn't compensate?
No. Nothing compensates chanting of the Mahamantra. There are people who only chant Mahamantra. They have never read a Bhagavatam in their life. And still they get so much knowledge, so much benefit of as if they've read the Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Because what does Krishna say in 15.15 Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah.
What does Krishna say? You know that shloka, no?
I read Bhagavad Gita, but I don't remember the
Then
chapter.
Please remember this one shloka. Okay, uh-huh. Today. 15.15. Everybody read it and remember it. Sarvasya chaham radisannivishto smutir gnana apohanamcha vedesa sarve aham eva vedyo
vedanta krutve.
So, what does it say? The Krishna says
from the remembrance
that I will give you knowledge, I will give remembrance, and I will give you forgetfulness. Where? From the heart. I will give you knowledge. Why you are worried? Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes, to tell you frankly, this is an age where there is too much knowledge. Sir, computer me, so much knowledge comes. This is sickening. You have to shut off the computer. You know? There is too much information nowadays. Information tech. It's also a maya, to tell you frankly. Too much knowledge is maya actually. But this knowledge is of a different nature. Follow? So please read, have a list out. I will read 1 hour of Bhagavatam, bas. But I will chant 3 hours of my rounds.
Rounds says, should be chanted more than reading.
Yes, first thing in the morning.
Though that we do. We read Sola and then start reading and
I know, but that's what the problem is. We do Sola and forget about.
So it won't compensate. Thank you.
Thank you. Haribo. Any other questions or comments? Everybody understood Mataji's question? Okay. Yes. Back again. Back and forth. Kalisandra Upanishad. Yes. Very good question. It's 3.5 crore names of the Lord, which amounts to 55.5 years of chanting non-stop, 365.25 days. Don't forget that quarter, because that leap year comes, no, 1 day extra, 29th February. Non-stop, 55.5 years. It's too long. So better to chant more and reduce the number of years. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Haribol.